Hallelujah. Amen. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, a chapter we're all very familiar with. But I think it's obvious that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us in recent weeks and months, and just wanting us to be able to believe Him to move into our midst and stir up that great gift of faith that's in us. Amen? You know, it is a gift of God. It's not something that you can create. You can't work it up. You are surely not the source of it. Amen? And so this gift that God has given us, this ability to trust Him and to walk in communion with Him and be assured that all of His promises, as we've already heard tonight, are yea and amen. The Lord already speaking to us tonight. A good word from the Spirit of God in these utterances. The stirring up of our hearts to believe God for great and mighty things. And then the reassurance also that we don't measure miracles by spectacular or, quote, simple. The very fact that we are the sons of God is miraculous. Amen? His sustaining us on a daily basis, as we heard in the utterance, how vital it is, and it is the miraculous. What a miracle that we're serving God, that our children are serving God, that He meets our daily needs, and He is the source and provider of all that we have need of. That He cares and that He can call us by name and the hairs of our head are numbered. What a miracle, praise God, that we have that communion and relationship with Father. And so we rejoice in that and delight in it. And then the admonition to make sure that whatever happens, we don't faint. God's promises are sure to 1,000 generations. They are yea and they are amen, praise God. When we believe God, we have whatsoever we believe God for. Amen? There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And so we rejoice in His goodness and the simplicity of this word faith, and yet how profound and far-reaching the power of genuine faith is. Nothing is impossible to he that believeth, praise God. And of course, this is an hour when the enemy's going to come and try to rob us of our simplistic faith. People today are far more interested in hearing teachings about faith than they are living in faith. Amen? Christians have become a bunch of scholars instead of disciples. We're satisfied with the knowledge. The more we learn, we like the nuances. This Greek word means this. You don't need to understand a Greek word if you can understand the simplistic statement that was made, all things are possible to he that believeth. Amen? Amen? Now the Greek for believe means, it means to live a life in corresponding action, doesn't it? James says that our faith without works is dead, being alone. And there's so many of us, you know, we in our minds believe that we believe. We've convinced ourselves that we believe because we can teach on faith. We know all of the subtle nuances. As I said, we can share the different aspects in the Greek. This chapter 11 of Hebrews, and it starts off with such a great, powerful statement. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. And we gain this great insight into what faith is. But it's not enough to know the definition. It's not enough to break this down and grab deeper understanding of what each of these words mean if we don't put it to work. It profits you nothing. We want a faith that works, amen? I want a faith that brings healing into my body and into my children when they're raging with fever. I want to be able to move in that same faith that Peter did when he walked in and just touched his mother-in-law and she was instantly healed, praise God. Isn't that what we want for our children? And how many times we've seen God answer those prayers. And then now we're wringing our hands over this current situation when we have so many experiences and testimonies of the goodness and faithfulness of our God. What He did then, He'll do now, praise God. The same God and the same power that delivered you then is going to deliver you out of this temptation, test, and trial. Hallelujah. And yet Satan comes again to try to bring confusion and doubt and you know, this one's too hard. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, praise God, absolutely not. So whatever it is you're facing tonight, why don't we just rest, praise God? Why don't you just turn it over and cast it over on the Lord? And believe that God is for us. And because of that reality, nothing can be against us. Do you have any trials tonight? You facing anything that would is trying to snatch the promises of God out of your heart? We talked in our last session, so many of us have unsaved loved ones. Aren't you glad it's not over yet? Amen? And God's mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Too many of us are fainting in our minds. Too many of us are allowing our faith to fail us in this hour. Too many of us are just gradually allowing the Word of God to be choked out of our hearts as we fall back into unbelief. You know, the word unbelief, it's a great word. And in the Greek, the unbelief just means to be unpersuadable. You're no longer persuaded what you used to believe. You're no longer persuaded that what God promised, He's able to perform, praise God. It's backsliding. It's a falling back into the natural mind. Beloved, anytime we look at the humanistic answer, the way the world performs it, we're in unbelief. Our communion with God is no longer what it should be. I'm not saying you're backslidden and you're damned. I'm saying the relationship is no longer what it should be. That bold confidence to come into His presence as the Scripture bids us is no longer there. We're gun shy. We're becoming dull in our minds. We get depressed. The need to believe God. I was finishing up the biography, the autobiography by Jimmy Swaggart, and he said as he was preaching one night, I really liked the term that he used. I hadn't heard it necessarily expressed in this particular terminology. But he said many Christians believe that when they get saved, that faith is actually super willpower. Think about that for just a moment. And I like that. I like the way he referred to that. And as I begin to meditate upon that thing and you see how many things we seem to think that we can will certain things. Faith is not willpower. Faith is not strong character. Faith is not a discipline that we're able to be stronger and stand and endure this longer than others. Faith is that ability to recognize our weakness and that we in fact cannot stand against Satan in our own strength and that God alone is our deliverer. Hallelujah. That's that willpower to where we look for natural sources. There is nothing more that exhibits the carnal mind than looking to secular answers to our spiritual needs. And to be carnally minded is? To be carnally minded is? And to be spiritually minded is life and peace in Christ. He said after he finished that teaching, it was a Wednesday night, he said after finishing that teaching, one of his associates came to him and was angry. And he challenged him and he said, how dare you proclaim that Satan can overpower our will? Our will is the strongest force that exists. Our will can cause us to accept God and reject God. We are free moral agents. We do not accept God by our will. We accept God by the free gift of faith and grace. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know whether he spoke this to him privately as they were further on in the discussion. But having speaking to this man's situation revealed the fact, he didn't reveal any names, revealed the fact that this man of God would at times become so depressed that he would go into his room and lock the door and not even turn on a light, sometimes for days in depression. And so he asked, guys, was that your will? That's what you wanted to do? That was your will? If your will is greater and you by your will can oppose satanic onslaught, if your will has the capacity to suppress the Adamic nature, then why are you so often having to come to God for deliverance? Faith is not willpower supercharged. We don't have the ability to cause ourselves to believe greater things. I'm going to believe for greater things. Faith trusts God for greater things. Amen? There's a difference. One is believing in faith and the other is believing in God. And so we want to talk about that faith that we can rest in and be assured in. We want to talk about a faith. Nothing robs faith greater than us trying to get involved and make stuff happen. And so as we look at these promises of God and we look at what he's trying to speak to us, you know, we see that he's admonishing us here to be able to live in this life of trust and reliance and assurance on the goodness of God. Now we've heard it many times, but I'd encourage you again tonight to write down some of these terms. And as we were talking about faith here, and I'll use those words again, and we just spoke them, but faith is reliance upon God. Faith is, as the scripture then reveals it to us, is assurance of the promises of God. There's an assurance in our hearts of the character of God, the person of God, who He is. And so often when we start feeling unbelief come in or doubt or we begin to get weary in our well-doing, beloved, don't then try to attack the problem more and somehow think we're going to work some faith up. That's the time we want to retreat. We want to come into rest and bring ourselves back to who we believe God is. What we know Him to be. How reliable God is. Amen? Reliance. The greatest hindrance to biblical faith is self-reliance. We think we know. And I'm talking about reliance upon your faith. Oh, how we have to let God be all in all. Amen? Biblical faith is emptying ourselves and the knowledge of the fact we have nothing to contribute to these victories. It's all Christ in us. It's a finished work. We don't have to build up more faith. Jesus' faith has already answered this situation, praise God. Jesus' victory on the cross has already brought us the assurance of this victory as it's been promised in the Word of God. Be still and know that I'm God. I'll fight for you. Hallelujah. Ah, the goodness of God. Our ability to rely on Him. What are we going to do? Rely on God. Amen? You know, we'd have Christians get mad at us if that's how we answered every time. What are we going to do about this? We're going to trust God. No, I mean, what are we going to really do about this? Rely on God. Yeah, I know, but what are we going to do? We're going to have assurance that what God promised, He's able to perform. Amen? And if we kept answering somebody that way as they responded that way, wanting to find faith, how are we going to get more faith? And you kept answering them in faith, some people get upset with you. We got to do something. Yes, you do. Enter into rest. Praise God. That assurance, that reliance, that trust in the goodness of God. When He speaks to us here in this 11th chapter and He says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. We know these things intellectually. We've been taught this many times. Some of us have taught it. There was reference made to it in the utterance tonight. Do you understand that answer already exists? It has substance. It's just in the other realm, the spirit realm, and we need to grasp it with faith because the natural eye can't see it. Our emotions can't feel it. But if God promised it, it is. Amen? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's more real than what we can see in the natural realm. It, the answer to that prayer, the answer to this dilemma that we're in, this need, whatever it is, you can almost think of it as you know, we look at the vastness of the universe and we look up into the sky, and many of the stars that we see no longer exist. They burned out. But at 186,000 miles a second, that light is coming to us and we're still seeing it. That's how far away that star is. He holds the heavens in the span of his hand. Before we call, he's heard us, because the answer is in eternity. What can stop it? Nothing can stop it. It's on its way from eternity, praise God. Though it was intercepted for 21 days in Daniel's situation, it was in the heart of God even before Daniel spoke. God knows all of these things. I know it's hard to understand. One of the good things we can know about God's immensity, of God's omnipresence, of God's eternal existence, is nothing surprises him. Amen? This stuff is not like, oh, we're going to have to get down there and do something. God's already got it all handled, man. This thing's just working itself out. Working itself out. Predestination? Yeah, predestination. Based upon foreknowledge. No exclusion of man's moral agency and free will. God's known the whole thing from before the foundations of the world. So why faint a week before it shows up? And having done all to stand, say it, stand, praise God. Don't believe those lies. Don't turn and think, well, since God didn't answer that this way, we're going to have to, we'll take another run at these things this way. There is no other way to please God but by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, praise God. And so we have to come back to this simplistic understanding of the goodness of God and the promises of God. And so faith then gives substance to. One word for that word substance means a substrata or a foundation. That thing that we build on. Faith is not the answer. Faith is the substrata. It's the foundation of what that thing is built upon that's coming and being manifested. We've given this example before, but I think it helps us again to remember. It's the title deed. Do you remember we've talked about the title to your car? The title of the car is more proof that you own it than the fact that you drove up in it. You could have stole it. That was lent to you by your uncle. I used to love that, man, when I was going out on dates and it was kind of a special date, you know, some girl you're really trying to impress, I'd go borrow my uncle's Corvette. I used to borrow a number of cars, actually. And we'd steal some, but anyway, so here you are, right? You're senior in high school, 17 years old, and you come rolling up in this vet, man. And it's like, yeah, you own that. I actually had a great car as a senior in high school, so I can't... Our first car was cool, though, man. Our first car was a 51 Ford, 3 on the tree. Some of the guys know what I'm talking about. That thing, man. Oh, Lord. Between that and that one Chevy we had, the headliner hanging down, it looked like a spook house on Halloween, you know, and the headliner hanging down and, you know, it is all rotted, and I know all the young people are like, what? But anyway, you know, and of course it was cool, and the holes in the seats, you could see the springs, you know, cool. I had a suicide knob on it. We used to go whipping donuts with that suicide knob on that thing. See, that's what I own. But now I got me a Corvette, man. I'm driving in this Corvette. We have the title deed. We have the proof. Faith builds upon... Faith is that substrata that we're building upon, and faith, as it continues to rely and be assured of these promises, we see that built before our very eyes as we're coming to illumination of all that God's done for us. Faith is what allows us to keep seeing that righteousness of God built in us. How many of you know you're the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ? How many of you don't feel like it all the time? How many of you don't act like it all the time? But we are, amen? And that's what faith does. It grabs these promises and says, this is what God said. This is who I am. Not what you're accusing me of, devil. Amen? Not what you're accusing me of, unbelieving spouse. Not what you're accusing me of, unbelieving friend. I know who I am in Jesus Christ. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And I am a son of God. And I am an heir and joint heir, praise God. And you know what? I am healed. And you know what? I'm delivered from this fear. Fear will no longer reign in my mind. Lust will no longer reign in my mind. Doubt will no longer reign in my mind because faith says, praise God. Sin no longer has dominion over me. And that sixth chapter of Romans becomes alive in our hearts. And we say what God said. That's faith. You know, positive biblical confession, that biblical truth that turned into blab it and grab it. You know, that's what happened in the faith movement. Took real Bible principles. The Bible tells us to state and confess these things that God has said about us. Amen? This positive confession. And that's exactly what it is. And so we say, I'm the righteousness of God. We say, I by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And then people took it and said, well, if faith is a force, then we can use it any way we want. So now I say, I have this mansion. Now I say, I'm a millionaire. The scripture doesn't give us license for that. The scripture only allows us to use the word and these biblical principles to fulfill what God has declared we are in Jesus Christ. Oh, that faith that we need. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You know, when we're in unbelief, man, it just hurts the heart of God. When we can no longer be assured and believe Him for that promise of healing and we finally give up, the grief that it brings to God after the price that Jesus paid. And then how much more when we want to run to some surgeon or take some new medicine or some new herb and we promote it as the greatest thing going and we won't share the Word of God with people? We won't continue to declare that by the stripes of Jesus we're healed? We're more excited about a herb than the blood of Jesus? Carnal mindedness, death. Anything that's not emerging from that law of the life of spiritual living in Christ Jesus is carnality. We need faith. We need to continue to say what God has said. It's the substance of the things that are hoped for. Now we know that word hope. It's speaking of favorable expectation. How many of us are pessimists? How many of us are hee-haw? You know, doom and gloom, agony, despair on me. How did that thing go? How many of us are that guy in Little Abner with the cloud over his head and the lightning bolt coming down? I don't remember his name either. Favorable expectation. I'm expecting something good to happen. The Oral Roberts program, you remember, something good is going to happen. That was their theme song back in the 80s, I think it was, 70s or 80s. Something good's going to happen to you. Too many of us have been beaten up and we've got this pile over here that we think about every day of unanswered prayers. I know many people will say, well, you know, they have been answered. The answer was no. God doesn't answer to no what He said would be yea and amen. Amen? So we need to know what the Word declares is rightfully ours. So your prayer is not unanswered. Faith says my prayer is in the process of manifesting itself. Amen? Faith calls things that are not as though they were. Start saying what you believe in God for. You know, we've talked about it many times. We won't go into it in length. Faith doesn't call things that are not. I mean, faith doesn't call things that are as though they were not. And we've always given the illustration, you know, of the broken arm. Arm's broken, bones sticking out. And they say, man, you got a broken arm? No, I don't have a broken arm. Yeah, you do. What's that thing sticking out of your skin? It's not supposed to do that. Faith does not deny what is. Faith calls and give substance to those things that we're hoping for, favorably expecting. What I say is not, I don't have a broken arm. What I say is, I believe that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, praise God. Doesn't look healed. Faith doesn't take into consideration what we're seeing or what we're feeling. Faith lives off the promises of God, and what God's word has declared is true to faith, praise God. Regardless of what anybody says or sees or feels, including ourselves. And so the question I'd ask us tonight is this: do we really, are we approaching our lives with favorable expectation? Are you believing that God's going to do good things? That this is all going to turn out good for the glory of God? That all things work together? You know, it takes faith to believe Rome. We can quote Romans 8:28, but it takes faith to believe Romans 8:28. Amen? All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purposes. Hallelujah! You see all this bad stuff? It's working for good. Hallelujah. All that pressure is what turns us into diamonds, man. Too many of us want to live without, we want to be a lump of coal in the kingdom of God. I'm just satisfied to be a lump of coal. Just don't put any pressure on me. Just bring me home a lump of coal. Only problem is just Jesus didn't come and become sin for us to remain a lump of coal. He learned obedience by the things that he called us to be like him. And the captain of our salvation learned this obedience. And so you and I are going to experience adversities and trials and pains and tribulations. We're going to be inundated with doubts and fears. And because of that, we need to have that shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. Some of our shields look like sieves. Some of our faith is almost non-existent. Thank God for the breastplate of righteousness. Amen? Because even if we have little faith, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that He has caused us to become is sufficient. And everything that hits that breastplate has no effect, praise God. Oh, it's disconcerting. These things that we're having to, by the grace of God, go through. We're going to be now in the midst of all of these tribulations and trials and these different things that faith could have kept us from experiencing. But that righteousness, that breastplate, will not allow us to be tempted past that, that we're able, and with every temptation, make a way of escape, praise God. Faith allows us to come out of these things Christ-like and allows us to emerge victorious, because God's ultimate goal is to give us the blessing of Christ-likeness. The victory of sonship. And so faith then is the title deed of the things that we are favorably expecting. It is the evidence of things not seen. That word evidence, the Greek, is to expose or to prove. It's the proof. In the spiritual realm, it's exposed. We begin to see it as reality. Faith sees it as real, even though our natural eyes can't see it. Nobody around us can see it. We're the only people. And we may not see any manifestation, but our spirit man sees it. We perceive it as being already evidenced, manifested in the spirit realm, ready to manifest itself into the visible realm. As the prophet of old cried, Lord, open his eyes. Lord, just open his eyes. Let him see what I see. We remember the story. They're surrounded by these enemies. No hope for them. And the man of God says, there's more for us than there are for them. And this young believer looks at him like he's crazy and that he had gone to public school. Couldn't count. One. Two. Ten thousand. There's more for us than there are for them. Wouldn't you love to have God open your eyes tonight and be able to see what's in the spirit realm manifesting itself over this place tonight? How many of you would love to have your eyes open tonight and see the angel that's been given charge over you with his foot on the neck of some demon? Going, not tonight. Hallelujah. That's what faith sees. It exposes what we can't see in the natural realm. But do we favorably expect that? We become so convinced by life and circumstances that God is not always going to do what's good for us and that we're not always going to get certain prayers answered, etc., etc. Why would you believe that when God has already declared himself good and sovereign? And the devil a liar. And your flesh and your mind vanity. Why would we dare believe our own minds over the promises of God? And so he speaks and he says, you got to understand, man, this is the proof of what you have not yet seen. The things seen, things that are perceived by the natural senses, we can see it or we can feel it, it manifests. This title deed is the proof of those things that haven't yet manifested. You don't own that car. Yes, I do. Here's the title deed. That thing's being shipped right now. Here's my proof. And tomorrow that baby comes off the car hauler and you're out cruising, man. Or let's say it another way. That pain leaves your body. That cancer ceases to torment you. That relationship with that spouse is restored. Or just the peace of being able to trust God again. If we had everyone close their eyes and we would be truthful and ask for the show of hands, there'd be a number of hands that would go up here tonight and say, you know, I just don't trust Father like I used to. I feel like he's failed me. I feel like his love is so far from me. I won't hide it. I don't have that faith that I once had. Can I remind you tonight? God is immutable. He hasn't changed. He's just as good today as he's ever been. He's just as loving today as he's ever been. And he loves you, praise God. And he loves you just like you are. In your unbelief. Don't think for a moment that God ceases to love us in our times of unbelief. He loved us while we were sinners. Amen? So he sure loves us in our unbelief. He won't leave us nor forsake us ever. I stand as the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. A son of God, called by his name. But you know what? I admit I don't have the faith I used to. There's unbelief that's crept into my heart. What do you do? Pray, fast, study more. No, that's exactly the wrong thing to do. Don't start trying to fast. Don't start trying to memorize more scripture. Don't start trying to spend 5 hours in prayer. Start by confessing your sin and re-imbibing and embracing the love of God for you. And realize he loves you right now in the condition that you're in than when you would have thought you're doing the greatest in your life. And then let that love for him and that trust and reliance and assurance in him initiate the prayer and the study and the fasting. Otherwise, it just works again. And all you're going to do is fail again and find yourself back in that same place. Because faith doesn't come by how much we pray, how much we fast, or how much we study. Faith comes by hearing the word of God and the message that he declared about himself and his love for us and his eternal commitment to the redemption of your soul. And the revelation of his love to where he would stoop and become a man and dwell among us and be made sin with our sin that we might be declared righteous in his righteousness. And when we hear that rhema, then we can believe God for any of his promises. Praise God. And faith rises up in our hearts because we now have a clear understanding of our God and what these promises are based upon. Hallelujah. And they're not based upon principles or laws, though those are great factors as we're becoming sanctified and walking out the daily warfare in life. But the source of it is the person of Almighty God who said all things are possible if you'll believe him. Father, we thank you tonight. And we ask you just to cause in each and every one of us a rising up by the Holy Spirit of God, an assurance of your love and your presence in us, A realization that these things we're believing for, we don't have to grit our teeth. We don't have to work harder. We just need to rely in your love and your great integrity, the assurance that you've given us. And that you would cause us tonight to be able to see it already done. The evidence of what is not yet seen. And for that, Father, we'll give you all the praise and all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, if God's for us, nobody can be against us. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.